As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
The sun is rising over Missouri, folks, and it's time once again for a Show Me Showdown. We had breakfast on the table all across America, coffee brewing on the stove, and there's still a revolution in the air. Be a part of it. And welcome to our Friday, March the 12th, 2010, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. We come to you live Monday through Friday right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. My name is William Roberts. Always news, hard facts, and workable solutions for you today. But definitely not going to have any news today either. Kind of taking a break this week from the news. Of course, it wasn't by choice. It was by necessity. My internet-connected computer for browsing the web is still not functional. Anyway, we'll pick it all up in a bit with that. But let's go into this. If you can't remember the last time you experienced the pursuit of happiness, you're definitely in the right place at the right time. Definitely mean that. To become vocal local. This is the home of philosophical radicalism, and we're going to talk about that today. We're going to go back into the philosophically radical concepts of freedom and air out the concept of representation and agency and all the rest of that. So do stick around. It's going to be rather informative. Interactive Talk Radio is the name of the game. To be a part of today's broadcast, you can pick up the phone, as always, call throughout the broadcast. For those with unlimited long-distance access or in the Austin, Texas area, you may call in at area code 512-904-8014 to join me live on air, or take Oracle with you on your mobile device. And from around America and around the world, you can call in toll-free at 866-841-1065. Those numbers and so much more posted on the oraclebroadcasting.com homepage. You may also send your ideas for guests, show topics, and news to me again via email at bvlhost@centurytel.net, bvlhost@centurytel.net. And for those without internet access listening by any of our affiliate stations and micro broadcasters, you too can be a part of it. Simply send your letters to me at William Roberts Post Office, Box 96, out of Exeter, Missouri, 65647. Again, that's Box 96, Exeter Mo, the big Mo to me, 65647. Big shout out again this morning to Liberty Radio out of Owensville, Missouri, Micro 1650 AM Buffalo, New York, 94.3 Elgin, Texas, and AM 1710 Liberty Radio out of Minneapolis and Jordan, Minnesota. Thank you for broadcasting Become Vocal Local. If you know of a local network that's picking up this broadcast, AM, FM, micro broadcast, or otherwise, drop me a line, bvlhost@centurytel.net, and I'll definitely give them a shout-out for doing so as well. Our listener call-in number remains throughout the broadcast, 866-841-1065. Precious metals this morning, commodities, equities, and currencies, they're all kind of gaining on a weakening U.S. dollar. We'll look at that briefly. The history of law continues, readings, agency, representation, assembly, parliamentary rules of order. We'll talk about all of that in today's broadcast, both hours. Let's go to that market report for Friday, March the 12th, 2010. Active trading out of New York City as of 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time finds gold trading up $3.70 at $1,113.30 an ounce. Silver up 6 cents at $17.22 an ounce. Platinum moves up $9 an ounce at $1,618. And palladium runs $463 for a troy ounce of palladium, moving up $4. The gold spot market this morning, the lows and the highs of the gold spot market, $1,110 for a low, $1,120.40 for a high. A lot of volatility in there, buyers and sellers both. But at $1,113.30, your gold is up $215.60 for a 24.03% return on your investment year to year. The boys in London this morning, the London Bullion Market Association, the LBMA, they set the price at $1,118.75 for spot gold, and we're trading $5 and change below that. We'll be right back after this first commercial intermission with more. Stay tuned.
About the most advanced affordable upgrade for your vehicle. Sonic spark plugs bring you increased fuel mileage and performance. It's like a new brain for your engine from enginebrain.com. Just like a pound of sawdust burns faster than a pound of wood chips, finer fuel mist burns faster. Using a patented process, Sonic spark plugs smash gasoline mist with ultrasound. Thousands of drivers have upgraded to Sonic spark plugs for more power and mileage. Just replace your old plugs with Sonic plugs. Now get a free Sonic spark plug for your chainsaw, generator, snowblower, or lawnmower, and pay only shipping and handling. Once you experience ultrasonic power, you'll want them in your car, truck, motorcycle, or RV. Visit enginebrain.com to learn why Sonic spark plugs outperform all other spark plugs. They're a small company, but their advanced plugs are 100% OEM compatible with your vehicle's warranty. Visit enginebrain.com to learn about combustion theory, hydrogen power, and fuel efficiency. Learn what the oil companies would rather you not know, like a new brain for your engine. Enginebrain.com. Enginebrain.com. This is Mike Chambers from my good friends at GadstonTees.com, the official supplier of tees and gear for both the Oracle Broadcasting Network and Mike Chambers Live. Gadsden Tees is a supplier of high-quality shirts, caps, flags, and more, all geared to the spreading of the liberty and freedom message. Whether you're interested in a design already in stock or one of your own making, Gadsden Tees can outfit you and your organization with the look and style to get the message across to those you meet. Gadsden Tees has supplied gear to a number of freedom organizations, so you can be assured of receiving quality, revolutionary apparel with absolutely no hidden costs. The price quoted is the price you'll pay, regardless if it's one shirt or 1,000. Big orders or small, makes no difference. They're all treated with the same care and consideration. Get your liberty message out to the masses with revolutionary apparel from GadstonTees.com. That's GadstonTees.com.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from HempUSA.org.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back to our Friday, March the 12th, 2010, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. We come to you live Monday through Friday right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. My name definitely is William Roberts. It'll be William Roberts on Monday, just as it was last Monday as well. If you can't remember the last time you experienced the pursuit of happiness, you're definitely in the right place at the right time to become vocal local. When was the last time we experienced the pursuit of happiness anyway? Sometimes I just have to scratch my noggin. Let's go back in and close out that market report for Friday, March the 12th. Active trading out of New York City, 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Again, we found gold trading up $3.70 an ounce at $1,113.30. Been all over the marketplace this morning, as high as 1,120, as low as 1,110. Very volatile, bouncing up and down. Lots of big hands in the market there, but they're about $10 moves. We're looking at a spread of $10. But anyway, silver up 6 cents on early trades at 1,722. Platinum up $9 at $1,618 an ounce, and palladium up 4 at $4.63. And if you haven't noticed already by the commercial rotation, we do have a new sponsor, Christos. You might check them out for all of your precious metal needs. The London Gold Fix again this morning. The boys in London set the price at $1,118.75 an ounce for bullion spot gold, and it's trading below that by $5. The SPDR gold shares this morning, always tracking this, keep an eye on that. The spider on the web, the State Street Global Advisors, just type it into your browser, SPDR Gold Shares, and you'll have their website pop right up. Of course, there's other stuff there as well. There are other sites that they maintain, so you'll do have to do a little bit of research on that. But they're holding 1,115.51 tons of gold, ostensibly, at a street value on State Street there at $39.59 billion. They're a major player in this marketplace, and let's not forget that. The Dow Jones Industrial Average closed up 45 yesterday at 10,612. Definitely walking upwards away from that 10,005 mark. It's been at that for a while. The NASDAQ goes up 10. Yesterday closes at 2,368, and the standard no so very poor 500 index moves up 5 and trades at 1,150. Crude oil this morning, big jump in the crude oil market this morning, up 84 cents. Crude oil for a 42-gallon barrel of that light sweet crude, it's going to cost you about $82.95 delivered in Oklahoma. And the U.S. dollar index plunges this morning off 48 basis points, trading at 79.80, now again below 80 again. What that all means is, you know, just kind of pulled from the air, really. If you want to find out more about the U.S. dollar index, the USDX, you need to go to the Intercontinental Exchange Inc.'s website and browse around, study it up, find out something about that. It has a lot to do with everything. And it has impacted the Forex. Its downward move impacts the Forex, where we see everything going up. So when the dollar index goes down, everything else in the foreign exchange rates go up. Today, the Canadian loonie up 0.75% or 75 basis points, tops out, goes past that 97 cents. It's been out for a while. Now trades, exchanges at 98 cents U.S. The Mexican peso, very fully at 8 cents U.S., moves up 0.12 basis points or 0.12% or 12 basis points. The euro moves up as well, up 60 basis points, now at $1.38 U.S. The British pound up 60 also, trades at $1.52. And the Swiss franc up 80, trading at 94 cents U.S. So that's the foreign exchange rates. The bond market this morning for bonded indebtedness, you want to buy those $100 bonds, and they're plus and minus $100. But the two-year yield is at 0.98%. The 10-year yield is at 3.76, and the 30 at 4.68. So if you're a bond buyer, there you go. In the mortgage pit, the 15-year mortgages this morning moved down from a month ago at 4.44% to 4.35%, making it a little easier to buy into a house. And always look at those 15-year mortgages. This morning, those rates are still below the 30-year, and you get the job done in half the time. A 30-year mortgage this morning moves down from 5.05% a month ago to 5.00 today. So that is your market report. I've been talking about the history of law. We're going to continue that. It's rather turning into a rather lengthy series, as we call it something else, but there's no real reason to do that. We are studying the history of law, and it not to make us a bunch of jurisprudes, but certainly to bring us to a greater understanding of law and legislation and systems of government and governance and all of the implications and applications thereof. Talking about agency, we went into this idea that there was a great similarity between what we find in the Uniform Commercial Code in regards to agents and agency and employees and employers and employments and things like that. A whole lot of similarity there between what we find in business and what we find in politics. And we're going to continue that. We're going to talk a little bit, we began talking about representation this week because it's much exactly the same. So we'll look at that as well. Assembly. There is that aspect as well. Once all of these various representatives or agents come together, they assemble. And when they assemble, they conduct themselves again with a rule of law. And that's parliamentary rules of order. So we'll enter into a little bit of that from a delightful antique book donated to our library by Jim. And we always appreciate him for doing so. So that's where we're going to go with today's broadcast. And let's just start right out of the dictionary, as I love to do. I'm going to give you a couple of definitions, just generally, listen, I guess, see what you think. But let's start with assembly, because it has a lot to do with, you know, what we can do. What do we do? You know, we're all individuals. I think we can agree on that. But what do we do when we come together, when we come together and talk again, one with another? We assemble, right? An assemblage. It's an act of assembling or a state of being assembled, a group or collection of persons or particular things. So the idea of establishing a local voting precinct group is the idea or the notion of having people that live in close proximity, in the same township, in the same ward, coming together periodically, perhaps even regularly. This idea of coming to assemble and talking and getting to know one another and expressing our views, our concerns, our cares, our interests, getting to know what's going on right around where we are. This really is the beginning of an understanding of not only society, but also government, self-government, that rugged individualism, the idea of self-reliance. We don't look out beyond our own local area to find answers to questions. We start right where we are, just like you do, around your home. It's like calling the whole family together around the dining table. I know that's a thing of the past, but it happens sometimes in America. So the idea then of an assembly or an assemblage, to assemble, it's to collect or to gather together into one place or body. And then you start talking about collecting into one place or a body, then of course that's going to start to open the doorway to parliamentary procedure, and we'll discuss that later in the broadcast if time allows. What's an assembly? It just goes on. It's an assemblage of persons gathered together for a common purpose. So far, so good. We'll be right back.
Take Cartivite and live a longer, healthier life today. Cartivite is a combination of traditional herbal medicines to lower cholesterol, maintain circulation, and act as an anti-inflammatory agent. Cartivite uses the best of natural heart and body foods known, with herbs that have been used for centuries to help us maintain our health. Cartivite is the best heart and body extract health product available. You can go to heartdrop.com to hear the testimonials for yourself. Cartivite's professional formula provides antioxidant and heart-nourishing ingredients that help the body deliver nutrients to cells and carry waste from all body cells. Derived from plants, these nutrients generally cleanse and tones the entire circulatory system. You can order Cartivite at heartdrop.com or call our toll-free number, 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Remember, that website is heartdrop.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Rampant inflation that will eviscerate paper-denominated assets is just around the corner. The U.S. Treasury and Federal Reserve have been flooding the economy with trillions in fiat currency with no foreseeable plan to stop. In the last 10 years alone, the stock market has fallen 30%, and the U.S. dollar has lost 40% of its value, while gold and silver are up an amazing 400%. No other investment category has come near the return of precious metals in the last decade. Protect your assets by investing with Christos Trading. Christos Trading specializes in gold and silver IRA accounts, precious metals financing, as well as competitive pricing for gold, silver, platinum, and palladium. Christos Trading takes pride in providing a large inventory at excellent prices, fast delivery with free shipping and insurance, and very personal customer service. Get live price quotes for all products. Call Christos Trading today at 888-385-1116. That's 888-385-1116. Or visit their website at christostrading.com.
Don't miss 33rd Parallel News Radio with your host, Matt Kazee. Saturdays at 8 p.m. Central on the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
I like to always start in the dictionary whenever we start a study. I like to go from dictionaries, then off times to encyclopedias, and then the encyclopedias and the dictionary study to then lead me out into the big world of literature and writings and so on and so forth. And certainly if you are unsure about something, always do recourse to the dictionary. And I like to have dictionaries stacked up. You know, by the decades almost, by the authors, the Webster's Dictionary. We don't always, we no longer really have the access to the Webster's of old. You have to be so very careful because there are people that publish under the Webster's title. I purchased a Webster's Dictionary, a school and office dictionary, with a big Webster's Dictionary title on the front of it from a Walmart. And it's nothing close to the quality of a Webster. It's they just by the name they write. So you have to be really careful. But I start with the Noah Webster's 1828 in my stack of dictionaries. Actually, I have a Johnson 1755, which precedes that. But it's not the full meal deal. It's an abridged version. So if it has the words you're looking for, it's great. If not, you're out of luck. But with the Noah Webster's 1828 coming forward, I've tried, I don't have it complete, but I've tried to assemble by decades all of the various Webster's dictionaries up to today. And the reason for that is because the meanings and senses of words in our common, casual, social, interchange form of discussion and writing change. Those meanings of the words change. As they say, to the victors go the spoils. And so there's always the change agents in there changing the words. But this remains relatively the same when we look at assembly and assemblage. Again, assemblage is the act of assembling, or it's a state of being assembled. It's a group or a collection of persons or particular things, and it's synonymous with assembly, company, concourse, or a congregation. You can see that goes way back in our lives, kind of rhetorically. They'd ask, well, where are your eyeballs? You know, where are your eyes? Where's your nose in relation to your nose? Are they right on top of your nose? Are they in the frontal, plane of your face? If they are, the chances are pretty good that you are a predator, if you will, likely to be a carnivore. The beasts of the field, horses, asses, cattle, sheep, goats, all have their eyes on the side of their head. They're looking at you out of one eye at a time. They have to turn their head to get the other side of you. You know, got a weak eye, they'll always turn that side of their face towards you. But it gives us an advantage to have two eyes looking right out across the end of our nose. It helps us to focus better and pick up minor subtle differences and changes. You know, the hawk's eyes are right over the end of his nose, the eagle's eyes, and so on and so forth. We need to understand that there's a difference between being a beast of the field, so to speak, and being a predator animal, and we are kind of pretty much a predator on this planet, no doubt about that. Probably one of the craftiest predators of all, but thinking from that standpoint, can we as individual predators, if you will, or individuals, can we succeed individually, or is it necessary for us to assemble? I would say that you're probably going to be hard-pressed to find any time in any form of recorded history where mono was solo. Anyone that's ever tried to do that, anyone that's ever tried to live by themselves in a remote location for any length of the time realizes how difficult that is, how painfully difficult it is, and actually how dangerous it can be. might wind up with a very brutish and hard and short life as a result. So people have always had a tendency to come together, to assemble, to congregate. And we carry that out basically by the natural law. Let's continue a little bit. To assemble then is to collect or gather together into one place or one body, to fit together as parts, to meet or to come together. So to say, eschew that all, forms of grouping up is some kind of an evil where you could all of a sudden expect to, out of nowhere, to have one of the Bilderbergers infiltrate your group. Well, it's kind of, specious. It doesn't really follow any logical pattern. It's just kind of a way of speaking. But certainly, whenever people come together, there is always going to be disagreement among them. But again, if you're looking locally and you're forming a local voting precinct group, for instance, right in close tight around yourselves, very likely these are your neighbors, could be your neighbors, may be your friends, ought perhaps be your friends. You may already have antagonisms, that guy across the street or out across the back that has a dog that barks incessantly. You've just been dying to put a bullet in it, but you haven't, just out of decency. All them squalling children that ride up and down in front of your house or something like that, or the bitching and badgering couple that live next door and throw the dishes in the middle of the night and wake you up. That you probably have experienced some of those things in your life. If not, well, stick around, because you're likely to somewhere along the line. So we don't always get along with everybody, but we have to understand that when we live within a mile or two or five of each other, that things that impact one impact the other on the greater scheme. And if we can stand back a little bit and unflex our biceps and let our hands hang loose as opposed to balling up fists, maybe we can talk one with another and find things in common as opposed to those things that we disagree about. But even in an assembly, you're going to have disagreement, and that's where Robert's Rules of Order, which we'll discuss later, comes into play, because how do you deliberate one with another without resorting to force of arms? Big, big question here. Assembly, then, is an assemblage of persons gathered together for a common purpose. Is an assembly is a bugle call to the troops together, to bring the troops together. It's a putting together as parts or a lower house of a state legislature. You see, now we've introduced government, the assembly. It's also the same sort of a thing that you would find in a church congregation, or in a club, if you will, if you had a club, clubs as opposed to groups. The idea of a bugle to bring the troops together, to assemble the troops, assembly. If we think about our local voting precinct group as a multi-purpose tool, it's like the Leatherman that you might wear on your belt or carry in your purse, ladies. The Leatherman is multi-purpose tool, pliers and side cutters for cutting wire or barbed wire fencing or whatever, baling wire and a little corkscrew. Sometimes they stick in there a couple of different blades, maybe a screwdriver blade, Phillips head, and a straight point common screwdriver in there perhaps, some other items. The old Swiss Army knife, just a little bit more durable, a little more accessible. But when we think about a local voting precinct group, as I do at least, I'm thinking of all of the possible uses of something. Let's make the greatest use out of something as opposed to so specialized that it only has one purpose. So certainly your local voting precinct group could not only be a food co-op, let's say, or a food conspiracy where you as a group of people in your neighborhood could buy a wheel of cheese from a local cheesemaker and divvy it up so that you didn't have to have that BHT added or whatever that stuff is that they put in the cheese and milk these days. You could get some fresh milk and make cheese with it, and then as a group you could buy a whole wheel, or you could buy a truckload of watermelons or other kind of melons in the summertime, or a pickup load of corn and split it up amongst yourselves. Maybe you could bake bread and trade bread for brownies and brownies for biscuits and so on and so forth, quarts of milk and honey and all of that. These are all things that you could do out of a local precinct group when you've all understand that you're in this together. And then, when it does come time to call together for the purposes of selecting representatives and agents, you're perfectly suited to do so because you already understand the general scheme of things, and we don't have to go around trading conspiracy videos and things like that and wearing T-shirts and trying to scare hell out of one another. We all understand the fine mix and the fine fix that all these gotten us into this time. Well, we'll pick it up right there on the other side. With that, we'll talk a little bit about the Assemblyman and continue. Stay with me.
This is the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network. Visit us online at oraclebroadcasting.com.
The Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the socialize link on the left-hand side of the oraclebroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member's stream that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to oraclebroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
Claim that you owe a debt is made, you have a natural and legal right to demand that a third-party company validate and verify the debt claim. When a party brings suit, it is demanded by our legal system that the suing party has a substantial amount of evidence on their side of the scales of justice to bring a lawsuit to court. Failure to substantiate the claim of debt in court voids any claim to the debt and opens the doorway to civil and criminal proceedings. Endless Fraud Detection hires competent, independent examiners to audit your paperwork to find discrepancies, violations, unlawful and illegal acts, and misrepresentation of material facts, as well as acting as a third-party witness to the validation process. With our services, once you have the audit, which identifies any discrepancies of state and federal laws, you have enough weight on your side of the scales to seek remedy. To get your audit started, please visit our website at endlessfrauddetection.com today.
TeamSpeak.cc is proud to announce that TeamSpeak 3 is now available. TeamSpeak is now more flexible, powerful, and scalable. TeamSpeak software enables people to speak with one another and transfer files over the internet. TeamSpeak represents years of engineering experience and is available for Windows, Mac, and Linux. TeamSpeak.cc has the best integrated solutions for online gamers, virtual worlds, social networks, education, and any environment where up to thousands of users require crystal clear voice communications. Users can finally say goodbye to echo, feedback, and background buzzing noises, as the evolution in quality voice communication has arrived. Go to TeamSpeak.cc to find out more. Servers now available and starting at just $2 a month. Remember, that website is TeamSpeak.cc, your total voice-over IP solutions provider. TeamSpeak.cc.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And, of course, it's a kind of a guy thing where, you know, we believe that we can, you know, we can be all by ourselves, we can do all these things by ourselves, and, you know, we don't need people and so on and so forth. Not to say asocial or withdrawn from society, not to take it even further and get selfish and inconsiderate, but just this idea that, you know, we're bulletproof, we're Superman, you know, we can jump tall buildings in a single bound and all of that. But for anyone who's, you know, I like to say to folks that I tend to be a realist as opposed to a fantasist. And having experienced, you know, grew up in Alaska and having experienced the wilderness and wild places and mountain climbed and backpacked and spent considerable amount of time in the woods and having lived over, you know, 14 years in a little log cabin by myself, you know, heating with wood and gathering rainwater and, you know, growing a garden and all of that and raising chickens, hens, you know, and eggs and for their eggs and stuff like that and, you know, hunting for squirrels and rabbits and things all around close by my place. you know, it kind of puts a different perspective on things. Even the mountaineers, you know, the mountain men, those rugged guys, you know, the beaver men, the mountain men, they'd go out, you know, but generally they went with it in a string. They would have a couple of horses, a few mules, maybe backpacks, what do they call panniers loaded with grub, traps, and so on and so forth. Extra bullet mold, extra lead, extra powder, flour, coffee, and all of that sort of stuff, and they would head out. But they would only be gone for a season, and then they'd come back to rendezvous, and they'd drink it up and whore it up and have a good time and sell their pelts and restock their supplies and go out again. But usually they went in troops. Why? Well, because you only have to be confronted by a bear one time in the woods by yourself, whether you're armed or unarmed, to appreciate the company of at least another pair of eyes. You only have to sleep knowing that you've got a bear lurking right outside of the campfire glow one time to understand and appreciate the value of having company, an assembly, if you will. You only have to slide and almost fall to your death on ice one time or twice, or drop into a crevasse and hang from a rope to an ice axe someplace and then try and self-belay and climb out to understand and appreciate the value of going with others. So same thing around us. The idea of using a multi-purpose tool like a political group, a local voting precinct group, just makes good sense, and especially in times of peril such as these, in times of uncertainty when we're not really sure absolutely whether our financial house is going to remain intact or whether it shall surely fall, and whether or not we're going to be able to obtain foodstuffs at the grocery, and whether or not we'll be able to replenish the fuel in our vehicle. When we have a lot of uncertainties, the idea of grouping up just makes common sense. But common sense is short these days, especially among many who've spent their entire lives living in urbania, never lived in rural land. But continuing again, this idea of assemblage and assembly lines, you know, in a factory, a moving belt where parts are added to incomplete units as they are conveyed along. Just looking at the dictionary here. Lots of people adding their little bit to the process. You do that when you make hay. You do that when you process a hog. Anybody ever skinned and dressed out and done a hog? You know, it's a little bit of work. Beef cow, same thing. But then it comes down here and it says an assemblyman. It's a member of a state assembly. So you can see we use the same word when we take it from a local group like that and raise it up to a form of government where we actually have a representative coming on. There is multiple ways of looking at the philosophy in political science and their various philosophically radical thinking. One of those that gets us into trouble from time to time is the idea of authoritarianism and authority. You know, everybody talked about, you know, question authority all the time. And that's good. You need to question and keep it in mind. But you look at that word authority, and what's at the center of it is the word author. It's the beginner or the originator. One who writes a book. What is the Constitution but a writing? Someone authored it. Someone penned it. And as Aristotle said, in a republic, the Constitution, that written document, is the government. So then what is authoritarian? What is authoritarian? We won't raise it to the ism quite yet. Authoritarian is one who favors the principle that individuals should obey an authority rather than exercise freedom. Now, this morning we're going to find out a little bit from Sir Thomas Hobbes in his Leviathan, some of the perversions of this concept. But what is authoritarian? It's one who favors the principles that individuals should obey an authority rather than exercise freedom. We love freedom here. I believe that freedom is the greatest hope for America. But we do understand that when we live one with another, or when we come together in a society or a group, a town, a village, villages, etc., that there will be those that will be the, let's say, the last say on something in a deliberative assembly. That can be the whole group assembled, but there'll have to be some kind of agreed upon body of rules or precepts, which we can understand as law, involved in that. So, an authoritarian, then, one who favors the principle that individuals should obey an authority rather than exercise freedom. This is the idea of order ab chaos, order out of chaos. Yeah, you're all free men, all right, but if you boys keep it up, you're going to kill us all, right? Authoritative, having the power to demand or command. There's a leader somewhere. In the Bible, it talks about captains of tens and captains of fifties and so on and so forth. Somebody rises to the top. Hopefully, it would be someone with the requisite talent, skill, and capacity to actually perform in a leadership role. Maybe it could just be an elder, that held up Moses' hands. Continuing, authority. Authority is the power or the right to act or command. It's the power to act for another, influence, commanding respect, expert, quotation or opinion cited as proof, agency or corporation established by a government to administer a public service and expect to be self-supporting, an authority. The authorities are government officials. And then it goes on to authorize, etc., etc. So we start to build up an understanding of where we have come from in the past to where we are today. Now, at this juncture, questioning this despotic and tyrannical regime that has built itself up in Washington, the District of Criminals, and has infected not only all of the agencies, but also our state governments, and unfortunately our county and town governments, as globalism transitions from global to local. But right back into the Constitution, briefly, Article 1 and the amendments to the Constitution, which we sometimes call the Bill of Rights, it says here that Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or of the right to of the people peaceably to assemble. Again, the assemblies. So Congress shall make no law prohibiting us from having a local voting precinct group. We're peaceably assembling, and we're going to petition our government for a redress of grievances one way or another. It can either be done around the discussion table, or it can be done out in the field by force of arms. So there's a lot to support this idea or this notion of becoming vocal local. So much of our antiquity and the history leads us into this. But let's go into representation again, just quickly, as we move forward. But representation, this out of the Black's Law Dictionary. It says, it's a present, the first sense. These are terms, by the way. This is a legal term, representation. It's a noun. But here, we're going to define that term this way. The first sense is it's a presentation of fact, either by words or by conduct. Representation. It's made to induce someone to act, especially enter into a contract, especially the manifestation to another that a fact, including a state of mind, exists. Okay? So if you could think of it from the standpoint of in Congress assembled, and the representation is that anthropomorphic or anthropogenic global or climate change exists, or in other words, man-made global warming exists, and they are inducing, there is presentations, if you will, a presentation of facts made to induce others to enter into a contract. We could call that cap and trade, perhaps. So that's one of the senses. Another, and there's many, by the way, under that particular head, there's affirmative representative, a representation, false representation, material representation, promissory representation. And then we come to the second. We'll pick up the second and third and then move along through the course of the broadcast. Stay with us. Lots more to come.
Be prepared for anything. Disasters, drought, earthquakes, hurricanes, tsunamis. Be ready wherever your adventures take you. Ocean, rainforest, jungle, desert, even your own backyard. Sea Panel can help you make clean water from any source. Salt water, pesticides, arsenic, fluoride, brine, bacteria. With Sea Panel, you can handle whatever Mother Nature throws your way. Just pour contaminated water into your Sea Panel and let sunlight distill up to 2 gallons per day. 100% solar powered. No filters, no chemicals, no complicated maintenance. If you're near the ocean, Sea Panel can help make your disaster kit ready for anything. Please visit cpanel.com, spelled SEAPanel.com, or call 205-246-6492, cpanel.com.
Have you heard about the most advanced affordable upgrade for your vehicle? Sonic spark plugs bring you increased fuel mileage and performance. It's like a new brain for your engine from enginebrain.com. Just like a pound of sawdust burns faster than a pound of wood chips, finer fuel mist burns faster. Using a patented process, Sonic spark plugs smash gasoline mist with ultrasound. Thousands of drivers have upgraded to Sonic spark plugs for more power and mileage. Just replace your old plugs with Sonic plugs. Now get a free Sonic spark plug for your chainsaw, generator, snowblower, or lawnmower, and pay only shipping and handling. Once you experience ultrasonic power, you'll want them in your car, truck, motorcycle, or RV. Visit enginebrain.com to learn why Sonic spark plugs outperform all other spark plugs. They're a small company, but their advanced plugs are 100% OEM compatible with your vehicle's warranty. Visit enginebrain.com to learn about combustion theory, hydrogen power, and fuel efficiency. Learn what the oil companies would rather you not know, like a new brain for your engine. EngineBrain.com. EngineBrain.com.
This is Mike Chambers from my good friends at GadstonTees.com, the official supplier of tees and gear for both the Oracle Broadcasting Network and Mike Chambers Live. Gadsden Tees is a supplier of high-quality shirts, caps, flags, and more, all geared to the spreading of the liberty and freedom message. Whether you're interested in a design already in stock or one of your own making, Gadsden Tees can outfit you and your organization with the look and style to get the message across to those you meet. Gadsden Tees has supplied gear to a number of freedom organizations, so you can be assured of receiving quality, revolutionary apparel with absolutely no hidden costs. The price quoted is the price you'll pay, regardless if it's one shirt or 1,000. Big orders or small, makes no difference. They're all treated with the same care and consideration. Get your liberty message out to the masses with revolutionary apparel from GadstonTees.com. That's GadstonTees.com.
Pulling back the curtain to expose the matrix. Axiom Radio with Rob Chowda. Weeknights, 7 to 9 Central on the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
So understanding representation, we have, you know, first recourse to our encyclopedias, our dictionaries. I'm going to continue with this a little bit. This is out of the Black's Eighth, by the way, law dictionary. There are others out there. You can find them on the Internet. Bouvier's is one. I think Ralph Winterode has a website out there. It's justbelli.com, J-U-S-B-E-L-L-I.com, where he has parts or perhaps even significant portions of the Bouvier Law Dictionary online. You can Google it. It's a French spelling. Once you get the spelling down, you can find it in other places. Black's is a good source for information. The Black's Dictionary really is the, if you're going to be get a bar card, you're going to need to know or have references to the Black's Law Dictionary, that's for sure. But this is an aid for the attorneys, and we'll cover that, lawyers. But it's also good for we the people to understand the legal terminology, especially when so many of us do our research on the Internet and you go up and you're looking at law being passed coming on us and at us from every direction, and treaties, etc. It's good to think about it, put the black and white in your eye, as Hal Anthony likes to say, and think about it from the standpoint of language and symbols in a language game, and this, the symbols in the language game of law, the law language. But continuing the second sense here, the second term, the second meaning of the term, representation, this, the act or instance of standing for or acting on behalf of another, especially by a lawyer on behalf of a client. The act of or instance of standing for or acting on behalf of another. This whole idea of representation is huge. As if one could actually represent another person, another party, another individual. And much has been written about it. But here, again, in this second meaning or sense or definition of the term representation in law, it's the act or instance of standing for or acting on behalf of another. Now, your elected representative would, in discharging their duty, stand for or act on behalf ostensibly of you, their constituent, if you are the principal and they are the agent, and not just simply a third party. That PAT we've been talking about all week, principals, agents, and third parties. Here's the third sense. The fact of a litigant's having such a close alignment of interest with another person that the other is considered as having been present in the litigation. The named plaintiff, as an example, provided adequate representation for the absent class members, in like a class action lawsuit. And then finally, and under that head, then there's adequate representation and virtual representation. Interesting. Virtual representation. A party's maintenance of an action on behalf of others with a similar interest as a class representative does in a class action. A virtual representative. Fourth, the assumption by an heir of the rights of his or her predecessor, where each child takes a share by representation. It's a friendly but firm statement of a perceived wrong in international law. And this is the mildest form of complaint that one nation can make to another, also termed diplomatic representation. And then it continues. And of course, as you would expect in a law dictionary, there's much hay made of representation and lots of other places that you can go to look. But we'll set that aside for now and go back to a book that I've started into this week a couple of times, Representation. That's the title of the book, edited by Hannah Finichel-Pitkin, University of California, Berkeley, An Atherton Controversy, published in 1969. And Hannah Finichel-Pitkin, if I'm pronouncing all parts of her name correctly, was an associate professor of political science at the University of California at Berkeley, was awarded her bachelor's and master's degree by the University of California, L.A., and her doctorate by the University of California at Berkeley. Also taught at San Francisco State College, at the University of Wisconsin, so on and so forth, and is an author. So she's got a little, she's got all of the right sheepskins lined up there, but certainly, you know, you got to be really careful, because when you're talking about West Coast, you're talking about Left Coast altogether too often. And anything in and around Berkeley, California, Presidio, all this time period, you know, you're really treading on thin ice here. So you have to read with care. But she didn't write these things. She's the editor. She's gathered together the writings of others. And what we're trying to do is expand our understanding of what is this concept of representation. And here, in a section titled Representative Democracy, Pleasing the Constituents by Harold Foote Gosnell, we started in, and I'm just going to review a little bit of what we covered yesterday. In the realm of theory, the most important question, Mr. Gosnell writes, confronting the Western democracies is whether representation does or does not make a difference. This is huge. And again, he says, tentatively, we can list what we should like to find out about representation. First, how is representative power gained and held? What are the techniques of gaining and holding power in a representative government? And for that, you know, you can go right to the platforms, and you can go right to the bylaws of the established two-party political system. And you can go to the election laws for your state. Right here in Missouri, the 2010 election calendar is running. It runs, you know, every single day of the year. We're always either declaring candidacies, preparing to run for office, running for re-election, so on and so forth. That calendar of elections comes up, both at the local level, at the state level, and for federal elections, and we'll find out more about that. But how is representative power gained and held? In our studies here on this broadcast in the past, we found that the political party's sole purpose, or primary purpose at least, is to gain proximity to or complete control of the power to operate or control a government. So it's like having a continuous siege, regime changes coming on us and at us. We have those that are plotting changing the government continuously, divided as we are between these Republicans and the Democrats. As I like to say, Socialist Party A and Socialist Party B, unfortunately. But the Green Party is no relief there. The Libertarians are not much of a relief there either. If you study John Stuart Mill on liberty and so on and so forth, understand something about the philosophical radicals of England, Jeremy Bentham and such, the greatest good of the greatest number concept, the communitarianism of Amitai Etzioni and Martin Buber and others. So it's important. That's the first question. How is representative power gained and held? And if you understand how representative power is gained and held, then that opens up a field of inquiry. Is it such that I can't do this myself? Is it impossible for me or we to get a little piece of that action? Can we gain and hold power? Can we actually restore a constitutionally limited Republican form of representative government as our founders envisioned and give that model a try? And if so, how would one do that? What are the techniques of gaining and holding power in a representative government? When I was running for the Washington State House of Representatives back in 1980s, I was told by my sponsor, Senator William Kiscaden, that as a junior legislator in the Washington State Legislature, that my primary job the first year would be to find out where I was going to live in the Capitol and who I might room with or take an apartment, where I'd park my car, where I'd dine, where I would get my paycheck, and where my seat was in the hall. And beyond that, then you start, once you've got that down, Pat, then you start to run for re-election. I can hardly believe my ears, but that's basically the way it was laid out to me. What manner of men become leaders of a representative government? What does make up a leader? How are leaders made? Are they born? Or are they made? What are the qualifications? What are the skills necessary? What's that toolbox look like? What manner of men become leaders of a representative government? Secondly, we should like to know the relationship between popular government and representation. What is the relationship there between popular government and representation? Their mutual dependence and interacting effects must be discovered. Then thirdly, Mr. Gosnell writes, well, we'll have to pick up what he writes right after the top of the hour break, folks. We'll be back for hour number two, just getting warmed up. Stay with us.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At hempusa.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At hempusa.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
D. Take Cartavite and live a longer, healthier life today. Cartavite is a combination of traditional herbal medicines to lower cholesterol, maintain circulation, and act as an anti-inflammatory agent. Cartavite uses the best of natural heart and body foods known with herbs that have been used for centuries to help us maintain our health. Cartavite is the best heart and body extract health product available. You can go to heartdrop.com to hear the testimonials for yourself. Cartavite's professional formula provides antioxidant and heart-nourishing ingredients that help the body deliver nutrients to cells and carry waste from all body cells. Derived from plants, these nutrients generally cleanse and tones the entire circulatory system. You can order Cartavite at heartdrop.com or call our toll-free number, 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Remember, that website is heartdrop.com.
Looking for news and real information? You found it. You found it. This is OracleBroadcasting.com.
As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local. Blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back to our Friday, March the 12th, 2010, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. Now coming into our second hour of today's two-hour broadcast, we come to you live Monday through Friday right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. As in the first hour, my name remains William Roberts. We're not going to have any news today. We started the broadcast out talking about representation. We're looking at dictionary definitions, finding our way around with that. Looking at this idea of assembly, the local voting precinct system, all of the various multitude of things that you could do with a group like that. Not to worry about infiltration. There's 177,000 plus local voting groups or precincts all across America. Obviously, that infiltrating something like that is going to take, you know, some organized army and billions and bazillions. That's not likely to happen, but certainly each and every one of those 177,000 groups are equally influenced by the media and the education and the pastors and the preachers and the teachers and everybody else that punches your computer card. So infiltration happens from, you know, cradle to grave in this beverage, William Beveridge world that we live in these days. So with all of that behind us, we'll continue with our look into what is representation? What is a representative? What do we know about that? What can we learn about that? How does one gain power in a political system? What's important about gaining power in a political system? Why would it matter? Who cares who has the reins of power, if you will? As we learn from Maurice Strong writing in the foreword to Agenda 21, where truly the captains of finance and industry hold the reins of power. Ever since 1992, pretty well established fact. I would say all the way back to about 1913. Pretty well established fact that the captains of finance and industry hold the reins of power. Government having been relegated to being puppets on a stage, actors, stakeholders, and so on and so forth. But let's continue and roll it out the way that Harold Foote Gosnell does in his paper here, Pleasing the Constituents, Representative Democracy, as we found in Representation by Hannah Finichel Pitkin. For our audiences just joining us, where we see first, how is representative power gained and held? What are the techniques of gaining and holding power in a representative government? And what manner of men become leaders of a representative government? And second, we should like to know the relationship between popular government and representation. Their mutual dependence and interacting effects must be discovered. And third, we shall examine the peculiarities of the different devices and systems of representation as they've sprung up in various countries. Yes, we have quite a panoply of this idea. I like to think of it, however, as the spirit of division. Going back to Matthew 12 and 24, where Christ in the red letter edition, King James is paraphrasing, where we look at the if you have the ability to divide a family, if you can separate, if you can divide the husband against the wife, National Organization of Women, women's suffrage, the suffragettes and all that, if you can divide a wife from her husband, cleave that marital bond, come in between the wife and the husband, and if you can drive a wedge between a father and his son, and between a mother and the daughter, you have basically embarked on the destruction of the family. And of course, looking back at the Council of National Policy and their origination with Timothy LaHaye and Beverly LaHaye, his wife, you'll find a lot of that as a motivation force for the Council of National Policy.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Rampant inflation that will eviscerate paper-denominated assets is just around the corner. The U.S. Treasury and Federal Reserve have been flooding the economy with trillions in fiat currency with no foreseeable plan to stop. In the last 10 years alone, the stock market has fallen 30%, and the U.S. dollar has lost 40% of its value, while gold and silver are up an amazing 400%. No other investment category has come near the return of precious metals in the last decade. Protect your assets by investing with Christos Trading. Christos Trading specializes in gold and silver IRA accounts, precious metals financing, as well as competitive pricing for gold, silver, platinum, and palladium. Christos Trading takes pride in providing a large inventory at excellent prices, fast delivery with free shipping and insurance, and very personal customer service. Get live price quotes for all products. Call Christos Trading today at 888-385-1116. That's 888-385-1116. Or visit their website at christostrading.com.
The Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the Socialize link on the left-hand side of the OracleBroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member's stream that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to OracleBroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And once again, welcome back to our Friday, March the 12th, 2010, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local, coming to you Monday through Friday here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. You can access the show archives for Become Vocal Local and all of the other Oracle Broadcasting hosts on our homepage. You just click on the show archive page button. And when it opens up, you look down about number 4 there in the list, you'll find Become Vocal Local. Click on that and voila, an entire year of broadcasting at your fingertips. Enjoy the downloads. If you haven't got an internet access, internet-connected computer out there listening on terrestrial radio, and you don't have any way of getting those archives, you can certainly get them from us. Go to any local library or stop in with one of your friends and send an email this way. You just type in show.archive@gmail.com. It's show.archive@gmail.com. And that will send an email out to our friend in Missouri, Fritz, who has very carefully and professionally prepared a DVD disc, a data disc that contains all of the broadcasts, all of the Become Vocal Local broadcasts that have been done here on Oracle Broadcasting up until the transition into 2010. In other words, all of the 2009 broadcasts, you can get it on a disc. You send an email to show.archive@gmail.com, and he will respond to you with how you can get a copy of that sent in the mail to you in a little blister deal. And so if you have anybody at all out there that is not on the internet, that does have perhaps a computer, I think you'll need a computer or a good MP3 player to run this thing. But if you have the way of playing it, you can get a data disk that has all of the archives on one disk. So there's that. Additionally, there's the other thing, is that this network does need to, does need your support. And you can sign up to become an Oracle broadcasting member. And I think it's a $12 a month fee, and you can get the 128K streams and all other things like that. So do look into that. There's also the Oracle Broadcasting Store, Cafe Press items, and our sponsors that can help you get personalized things, I guess, to support the network, and that's all appreciated. Anyway, there's the plugs. Back to our discussion. We're talking about representation. A representative democracy. This Harold Foote Gosnell writing, and this is out of a book titled Representation, edited by Hannah Finichel Pitkin, published in 1951. But this selection is from Gosnell's work, Democracy, the Threshold of Freedom, Chapter 8, copyrighted back in 1948. I'm always going back into history, trying to find out what ground we've already covered, what area we've already covered. It's like going up into the wilderness. If I was going to climb a mountain, I wouldn't just necessarily go into the woods unprepared. I would get a map and I would study the terrain. I would plan out my routes, using a compass, and I'm an expert with a compass and a map. I'm also very expert with map, compass, and adding a altimeter to the mix. I can get you just about any place on the planet Earth. Spot on. Absolutely. So if we want to understand where we're going, sometimes it helps to start with the map. And so we go back into history and we map out where we've come as people up to this point, and where those who are trying and have been working for over 500 years to bring the entire planet into a one-world system of government, where they've gone as well. And making investigations and inquiries into how we were overthrown can help us to understand the techniques that were used against us. And as we like to say on this broadcast, the sauce that's good for the goose is often good for the gander. If we can figure out the loopholes and get through the straight and narrow gate, so to speak, we may be able to turn the tables, and hopefully just in the nick of time. So firstly, then, how is representative power gained and held? And then second, we should like to know the relationship between popular government and representation. And third, we shall examine the peculiarities of the different devices and systems of representation as they've sprung up in various countries. And in the United States, we have an established two-party political system, although there are those socialist-minded folk that would like to split us up into a European multi-party system. We have plenty of experience in the past of single-party systems, the various and sundry despotic dictatorships that have risen up in our lifetimes and in the lifetimes of your parents and grandparents. I don't think we need to go into Joseph Stalin too much. Look at the communists, Mao, Pol Pot, Benito Mussolini, Franco, and all the rest of them, not to mention Joseph. Well, I've already mentioned Joseph Stalin, but there's lots of other dictatorships out there. But those are single-party systems. But we have, in this country, a two-party system, an established two-party system, Socialist Party A, Socialist Party B. And then in Europe, they have the multi-party system where you can actually have so many parties that an absolutely fragmentary minority can gain proximity to or control of government. But as we've said so many times, if one pill has proven bad, not good for you, and two make it worse, and three make you really sick, then 6 or 12 or 24 or 36 or however many more that you want to go from there certainly is not the path to correcting the problem. We need to correctly analyze, diagnose the disease, and I believe it is the spirit of division, this idea of parties. Our founders never had it in mind when they set up this country that we would have parties and factions. In fact, they warned us against that. The problem then, back to Footnell Goth here, Harold Foot Gosnell, in his Representative Democracy, you know I hate that term, but we'll use it, we'll give it to him. It's just one step away from tyranny, anarchy. The problem here is to determine whether or not there is only an inconsequential relativity. Are systems of representation like the domiciles of different ant tribes merely equivalent and effective ways of doing the same thing? For the consideration of these questions, there must be an adequate definition of representation. That's what we're trying to do, come to an understanding of what is representation. Is it possible? Is it an elusive goal? Is it attainable? Can we understand it? Can we grasp it? Can we do it? With parts capable of being sliced off in turn to give further illumination like a splinter from a flaming log. In other words, we're going to turn it around three ways and four ways and upside and downside. Dissect it, slice it up, take a look at it. Look at this system. Look at this model. Can representation work? Is it possible? Could we possibly even hope to see a restoration of a constitutionally limited Republican form of representative government, or must we abandon the model? I don't think we should throw the baby out with the bathwater. Let's do look at the baby before we pitch it out the back door. The ostensible source for a definition is the existing literature. But an examination of the most frequently occurring references to representation reveals no definition which suffices for our purpose. Most of them exclude significant bodies of data. Some of them contain veiled preferences for democracy or a certain system of representation. It is simple to get what one wants by using a definition as a top hat from which pre-inserted rabbits may be extracted. You ever do that? Ever do that? Think of it as a top hat into which pre-inserted rabbits may be extracted. Some examples will illustrate this practice. And he's going to go on now. He's going to talk about Thomas Hobbes. And if you've never stopped to read Thomas Hobbes' Leviathans, Part 1 and Part 2, I strongly recommend it. We'll be right back.
Claim that you owe a debt is made, you have a natural and legal right to demand that a third-party company validate and verify the debt claim. When a party brings suit, it is demanded by our legal system that the suing party has a substantial amount of evidence on their side of the scales of justice to bring a lawsuit to court. Failure to substantiate the claim of debt in court voids any claim to the debt and opens the doorway to civil and criminal proceedings. Endless Fraud Detection hires competent, independent examiners to audit your paperwork to find discrepancies, violations, unlawful and illegal acts, and misrepresentation of material facts, as well as acting as a third-party witness to the validation process. With our services, once you have the audit, which identifies any discrepancies of state and federal laws, you have enough weight on your side of the scales to seek remedy. To get your audit started, please visit our website at endlessfrauddetection.com today.
CC is proud to announce that TeamSpeak 3 is now available. TeamSpeak is now more flexible, powerful, and scalable. TeamSpeak software enables people to speak with one another and transfer files over the internet.
TeamSpeak represents years of engineering experience and is available for Windows, Mac, and Linux. TeamSpeak.cc has the best integrated solutions for online gamers, virtual worlds, social networks, education, and any environment where up to thousands of users require crystal clear voice communications. Users can finally say goodbye to echo, feedback, and background buzzing noises as the evolution in quality voice communication has arrived. Go to TeamSpeak.cc to find out more. Servers now available and starting at just $2 a month. Remember, that website is TeamSpeak.cc, your total voiceover IP solutions provider. TeamSpeak.cc.
Be prepared for anything. Disasters, drought, earthquakes, hurricanes, tsunamis. Be ready wherever your adventures take you. Ocean, rainforest, jungle, desert, even your own backyard. Seed Panel can help you make clean water from any source. Salt water, pesticides, arsenic, fluoride, brine, bacteria. With Seed Panel, you can handle whatever Mother Nature throws your way. Just pour contaminated water into your Seed Panel and let sunlight distill up to 2 gallons per day. 100% solar powered. No filters, no chemicals, no complicated maintenance. If you're near the ocean, Seed Panel can help make your disaster kit ready for anything. Please visit cpanel.com, spelled seapanel.com, or call 205-246-6492, cpanel.com.
See the reality behind the illusions. Join us on the Iconoclast Report, Saturdays, 12 to 4 p.m., shattering paradigms, one show at a time.
So again, Thomas Hobbes from his Leviathan is referenced here by Mr. Gosnell in his book, or in this presentation, Representative Democracy. He says, Hobbes, in building up a monarchical system, strove so hard to take advantage of the positive coloration of the word representative that he deprived it of much meaning. In the Leviathan, he says this, and I haven't verified this quote with my copy to make sure that it's right, but we'll just take it as having been properly transcribed. A commonwealth, Hobbes writing, is said to be instituted when a multitude of men do agree in covenant, every one with another, that to whatsoever man or assembly of men shall be given the major part of the right to present the person of them all, that is to say, to be their representative, every one, as well as he that voted for it, as he that voted against it, shall authorize all the actions and judgments of that man or assembly of men in the same manner as if they were his own, to the end to live peaceably amongst themselves and to be protected against other men. A commonwealth. Of course, we had many commonwealths here. Well, Massachusetts, I believe, still is one. In the colonies, commonwealths. And certainly, if you want to know more about commonwealths and the monarchical system and the Tories and that, you would want to reference Thomas Hobbes and his Leviathan. The beast system of his day, he was quite the Tory, if you will. He was pro-monarchy and pro-established church. It may be stated, our author Gosnell continues, that Hobbes, with his mechanistic theory of man as an animal, all men at war against all men in a state of nature, urged by irrational drives to make rational efforts toward their achievement, would regard representative action as any action which helped realize man's effort to escape from the state of nature, which Hobbes regarded as a state of strife. It's that state of nature. Man living as a natural brute beast. A king, no matter how tyrannical, was representative of the people because the people felt that left to their own devices, they would be more destructive of one another than he would be destructive of them. And our founders in the Declaration of Independence wrote, that all men were created equal and that they were endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights, and among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, governments being instituted among men to secure the blessings of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and Thomas Paine's comment that such as in other countries, we don't despise or dislike monarchies, it's just that in this country, in the United States of America, soon to be formed, that the Constitution would be the king, and that we would set the Constitution on a pillow and place a crown upon it. It's a little bit different, because we understand that unless you have Christ-like wisdom in a man, your king is no doubt going to fall into tyranny and despotism in short order. A king, according to Hobbes again, no matter how tyrannical, was representative of the people, because the people felt that to left to their own devices, they would be more destructive of one another than he would be destructive of them. And in a well-ordered society, that might be okay. Certainly, you know, to use my analogy, is certainly better than having to arm up every time I'm off to the post office and fight my way down the street to my post box and then fight my way down to the grocery, fight my way then off to the filling station and fill up my truck with diesel and then fight my way home, protecting my acquisitions in the process. It's all men at war against all men in a state of nature that Hobbes talks about. This definition of Hobbes, this definition makes representation almost synonymous with political power. In history, representation has always implied a measure of consent. We talk about that all the time on this broadcast. This idea of voluntary compliance and your silence being consent or assent in law. Hobbes' definition practically eliminates the consent element. It imposes an acceptance of paternalism. And we talked about authority and authoritarianism. Authoritarian. We didn't discuss paternalism, but it's that father, the father figure, paternalism, the Holy Father, the vicar of Christ on earth, you know, that guy in the fish hat with the shepherd's crook, broken cross and all. A century and a quarter later, James Wilson, see a show of hands in the audience, how many people know who James Wilson is just by having said it in this context? He's probably one of the most influential drafters of our constitutional Declaration of Independence of any of them. James Wilson, an important person in American history. A century and a quarter later, James Wilson, in the midst of the American Revolution, defined representative as, quote, the chain of communication between the people and those to whom they have committed the exercise of the powers of government. It's a chain of communication. And as I've said so many times right here on Become Vocal Local, each of these broadcasts is unique from the one prior. Rarely do I ever cover the same material twice, although we will refresh memories from time to time. But each of these broadcasts could be thought of as a link in a long chain of communications, a link in a long chain which we can use, if we but will, to bind down our tyrannical and despotic government and bring them into subjection, bring them back into the idea of representation, where we are the principal and those representatives are the agents operating for us with the various third parties that we authorize them to enter into contract with on our behalf, and ostensibly, if not factually, with our funds. A little further down here, continues this way, Lord Brougham wrote that, quote, the essence of representation is that the power of the people should be parted with and given over for a limited time to the deputy chosen by the people, and that he should perform the part of the government which, but for the transfer, would have been performed by the people themselves. Now, that's very important, because it was at about this time when Lord Brougham was writing that England transitioned from this idea where the representatives were to be sent to the House of Commons, the House of Lords, with instructions from their constituents. They gave it up. They quit doing that. They came to a conscious decision that it would no longer be necessary for the House of Commons and the representatives to care about the little people. The wee winds could just go flat to hell, because all things a crown and parliament assembled would do would be look to the greatest good of the greatest number. Works all right if you're one of the wolves. Don't work out too good if you happen to be one of the sheep. Here again, Arthur continues, no account is taken of the fundamental changes which take place in the constitution of power when this change is made. And our founders resisted that English trend away from sending representatives to their various assemblies with instructions for some time, but were unable to maintain that principle, and so we've lost it. We can regain it, but before you can regain a right, you first have to know that it's one of yours. We'll be right back.
Ordinary Talk Radio, give you the laws.
Blah, blah, blah.
This ain't your daddy's talk radio. OracleBroadcasting.com.
Have you heard about the most advanced affordable upgrade for your vehicle? Sonic spark plugs bring you increased fuel mileage and performance. It's like a new brain for your engine from EngineBrain.com. Just like a pound of sawdust burns faster than a pound of wood chips, finer fuel mist burns faster. Using a patented process, Sonic spark plugs smash gasoline mist with ultrasound. Thousands of drivers have upgraded to Sonic spark plugs for more power and mileage. Just replace your old plugs with Sonic plugs. Now get a free Sonic spark plug for your chainsaw, generator, snowblower, or lawnmower and pay only shipping and handling. Once you experience ultrasonic power, you'll want them in your car, truck, motorcycle, or RV. Visit EngineBrain.com to learn why Sonic spark plugs outperform all other spark plugs. They're a small company, but their advanced plugs are 100% OEM compatible with your vehicle's warranty. Visit EngineBrain.com to learn about combustion theory, hydrogen power, and fuel efficiency. Learn what the oil companies would rather you not know, like a new brain for your engine. EngineBrain.com. EngineBrain.com.
This is Mike Chambers from my good friends at GadstonTees.com, the official supplier of tees and gear for both the Oracle Broadcasting Network and Mike Chambers Live. Gadsden Tees is a supplier of high-quality shirts, caps, flags, and more, all geared to the spreading of the liberty and freedom message. Whether you're interested in a design already in stock or one of your own making, Gadsden Tees can outfit you and your organization with the look and style to get the message across to those you meet. Gadsden Tees has supplied gear to a number of freedom organizations, so you can be assured of receiving quality, revolutionary apparel with absolutely no hidden costs. The price quoted is the price you'll pay, regardless if it's one shirt or 1,000. Big orders or small, makes no difference. They're all treated with the same care and consideration. Get your liberty message out to the masses with revolutionary apparel from GadstonTees.com. That's GadstonTees.com.
Of the 3 million-plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from HempUSA.org.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And in the course of the study of history, it certainly helps to go back and look at some of these early writings, and this out of Thomas Hobbes, Leviathan, Parts 1 and Parts 2. This is of the civil laws, where he writes here in Section 7 that law can never be against reason. Our lawyers are agreed. And that not the letter, that is, every construction of it, but that which is according to the intention of the legislator is the law. Let's throw in a sidebar here and let us know that these representatives are the lawgivers and the lawmakers in our system. Continuing from Hobbes, and it is true, and I should also say, and that intent is everything. The whole idea of stare decisis or decisis, the judges, the justices' decisions, and all of these court decisions that we talk about, case law, it's always looking at the intent of the lawgiver or the lawmaker. What was their intent when they wrote this law? What was their intention? Intent is so important in law. We can talk about voluntary ignorance of the law, which in many regards is synonymous with willful oblivion. You can be voluntarily ignorant of the incredible information that Doug Owen laid out on his broadcast last night as regards to the incident of 9/11 and all the things that happened there. If you missed Doug's broadcast last night, I strongly recommend you go back and listen to it. Just pick it up on the archives. But voluntary ignorance is just kind of like, you could say, turning a blind eye to truths or other things. Don't show me those pictures. Don't show me that video of that building falling in sympathy, having not been struck by anything. Looks like a demolition to me, but don't show me those pictures. I don't want to see that. I believe that Arabs with box cutters did this, and we need to kill all the brown people. Willful oblivion. Willfully turning your back on a body of knowledge. Don't show me how we came to have a constitutionally limited Republican form of representative government. Don't show me the great achievement that it was. I don't want to see that. I want to believe that we can each live our own lives 100% of the time and not have any government. I'm an anarchist. Don't show me history. I don't want to see that. Don't tell me that this has never been done before. But here, it continues, and it is true, but the doubt is of whose reason it is that shall be received for law. It is not meant for any private reason, or as the Bible says, a private interpretation. It is not meant for any private reason, for then there would be as much contradiction in the laws as there is in the schools, nor yet, as Sir Edward Coke makes it, an artificial perfection of reason gotten by long study, observation, and experience as his was. So Thomas Hobbes was kind of a little bit of a contrarian in his day, but he posed strong arguments. He continues, he says, for it is possible long study may increase and confirm erroneous sentences. I'll say it again. It is possible that long study may increase and confirm erroneous sentences. Or as Aristotle said, such as they begin badly, they cannot help but to end badly. If you start with a faulty premise or thesis, you can't help but to end up in error. And then as Hobbes continues, he says, and where men build on false grounds, the more they build, the greater is the ruin. And of those that study and observe with equal time and diligence, the reasons and resolutions are and must remain discordant. And therefore, it is not that jurisprudentia or wisdom, the commonwealth, and his command that makes law, and the commonwealth being in their representative but one person, there cannot easily arise any contradiction in the laws, and when there does, the same reason is able, by interpretation or alteration, to take it away. In all courts of justice, the sovereign, which is the person of the commonwealth, is he that judges. The subordinate judge ought to have the regard to the reason which moved his sovereign to make that law. His sentence may be other according thereunto, which then And it looks like we're back in. It appears that we might be on air. Okay, well, too dang bad. What do you know about that? Things did get remarkably quiet there. I'm going to go right back. We're running out of time. I don't want to waste a moment. Back in here one more time. In one of the speeches of King James, and this would be King James the First of England. Let's see if we've got a message coming in and everything's looking good. All right, King James of England. There is an interesting illustration of this habit of thought among the English common lawyers. Just bear with me if I'm repeating something I said a moment ago. I didn't hear it. I don't know whether it went out on air. And also of the emergence of a view that we might possibly call more modern, although its roots are very old. In 1607, contrasting the Scots with the English, the king said this. Here's a quote. King James. Attributed to the Bible, right? The King James Version. Here's what he said. Their meaning in the word of fundamental laws you shall perceive more fully hereafter. When I handle the objection of the difference of laws, for they intend thereby only those laws whereby confusion is avoided and their king's descent maintained, and the heritage of the succession and monarchy, which hath been a kingdom to which I am in descent 300 years before Christ. Not meaning it as you do of their common law, for they have none, but that which is called the ius, I-U-S, jus regis, the regal law, the law of the king. The king, in this passage, is making essentially the same distinction, not only of what Thomas Hobbes just did in the quote that I read there, but he's essentially making the same distinction that we now make as a matter of course between constitutional and other laws. In restricting this constitutional law, as he did, to the jus regis, or jus corona, and I apologize if I'm blowing it in Latin, I have no training in it, he reflects his own extreme view, or monarchy by divine right, the divine right of kings, you see. And there were undoubtedly some precedents for so restricting it, not only in Scotland, but in France and England as well. But the main point is this, that in this view, all customary law is not equally fundamental law. that some parts of it are by their inherent character more so than others, and that these parts are the ones concerned with the supreme governmental organ of the states. And while these fundamentals went no further for James than the guarantee of his own royal rights, by others they might extend and were extended to include some limitations in the interest of subjects as well. And on it goes. That out of Constitutionalism, Ancient and Modern by Charles Howard McIlwain. So again, we go back to our study here, Harold Foote Gosnell, trying to come to some understanding of representation. Understanding who are the lawgivers and who are the lawmakers and who are the governors and who represents. And we'll pick it up right there, right after this break. Thanks, Mike, for letting me know. We're back on it.
Take Cartavite and live a longer, healthier life today. Cartavite is a combination of traditional herbal medicines to lower cholesterol, maintain circulation, and act as an anti-inflammatory agent. Cartavite uses the best of natural heart and body foods known with herbs that have been used for centuries to help us maintain our health. Cartavite is the best heart and body extract health product available. You can go to heartdrop.com to hear the testimonials for yourself. Cartavite's professional formula provides antioxidant and heart-nourishing ingredients that help the body deliver nutrients to cells and carry waste from all body cells. Derived from plants, these nutrients generally cleanse and tone the entire circulatory system. You can order Cartavite at heartdrop.com or call our toll-free number, 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Remember, that website is heartdrop.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Rampant inflation that will eviscerate paper-denominated assets is just around the corner. The U.S. Treasury and Federal Reserve have been flooding the economy with trillions in fiat currency with no foreseeable plan to stop. In the last 10 years alone, the stock market has fallen 30%, and the U.S. dollar has lost 40% of its value, while gold and silver are up an amazing 400%. No other investment category has come near the return of precious metals in the last decade. Protect your assets by investing with Christos Trading. Christos Trading specializes in gold and silver IRA accounts, precious metals financing, as well as competitive pricing for gold, silver, platinum, and palladium. Christos Trading takes pride in providing a large inventory at excellent prices, fast delivery with free shipping and insurance, and very personal customer service. Get live price quotes for all products. Call Christos Trading today at 888-385-1116. That's 888-385-1116. Or visit their website at ChristosTrading.com.
Hi, this is Mike Chambers. Join me live weekdays for Mike Chambers Live from 11 to 3 p.m. Central Time here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
So we begin today's podcast with a the idea of assembly and assemblages in our study of the principles, the agents, and the third parties, the idea of representation. And when people do come together in a deliberative assembly, they need to have some form of agreed custom or tradition so that we don't have to get to fisticuffs and beat on each other with canes every time we do come together, as our ancestors did oft times, especially when they were settling the West. And had it not been for Henry M. Robert, we probably would still be cudgeling one another on a regular basis. So what he did is he took a look at Thomas Jefferson's rules of order for Congress and other sources, and he came up with a body of a work called Robert's Rules of Order, not William Roberts with an S on it, but Robert hyphen or apostrophe S, Henry M. Robert was his last name, R-O-B-E-R-T, Robert's Rules of Order. And I'm reading out of a little teeny book that was sent to me by James, one of our listeners and frequent chatters, copyright 1915. This is the oldest, one of the oldest. I think I may have another one in about the same time period. But this is the oldest copy of this that I have. All rights reserved. Copyright 1915, hardbound, beautiful little booklet, pocket size. Put it in the pocket of your vest or your jacket and go on to your meetings. Ready reference guide. But this is the preface, and this is what he wrote. A work on parliamentary law is needed, based in its general principles upon the rules and practice of Congress, but adapted in its details to the use of ordinary societies. Ordinary societies. You could look that term up. This is something you could find in a dictionary, in an encyclopedia. An ordinary society. Shouldn't run away from groups just because it's a group, folks. People do get together one with another. We do have intercourse one with another, and they call that Congress. But anyway, such a work should give not only the methods of organizing and conducting meetings, the duties of officers and names of ordinary motions, but also a systematic statement in reference to each motion as to its object and effect, whether it can be amended or debated, if debatable, the extent to which it opens the main question to debate, the circumstances under which it can be made, and what other motions can be made while it's pending. Now, if you look at the bylaws of any corporation, if you look at the bylaws of the Republican Party in Missouri or the Democratic Party of Missouri or just about any bank or institution, organization, legal fiction or otherwise, even your churches, you'll find that when they come together to have a deliberative assembly and work one to another, they resort to and even put in their bylaws that this will be the guide, that their meetings will be conducted by and guided by Robert's Rules of Order. The Rules of Order of a Deliberative Assembly. Robert's Rules of Order, published in 1876, slight additions being made in 1893, was prepared with the hope of supplying the above information in a condensed and systematic form, each rule being complete in itself, or giving references to every section that in any way qualifies it, so that a stranger to the work can refer to any special subject with safety. In other words, this isn't a secret society. This isn't the hidden mysteries. This isn't morals and dogma written in some arcane language style. What this basically is a guide to a deliberative assembly so that people can get together and actually get something done without just having to bitch and bicker one with another. And boy, do we. Left to our own devices. The fact that during these 39 years, a 500,000 copies of these rules, again this 1915, have been published would indicate that there was a demand for a work of this kind. But the constant inquiries from all sections of the country for information concerning proceedings in deliberative assemblies that is not contained in rules of order seems to demand a revision and an enlargement of the manual. To meet this want, the work has been thoroughly revised and enlarged, and to avoid confusion with the old rules, is published under the title of Robert's Rules of Order Revised. Now today, as you go to the bookstores and look for a copy of Robert's Rules of Order for yourself, it would be newly revised. At least that's my most recent ones. It may have another title today to indicate that even yet another revision has been done. But the object of rules of order is to assist an assembly, there we go right back to our first word today, an assembly, to accomplish in the best possible manner the work for which it was designed. The work for which it was designed. not some other work, not some corollary. Robert's rule of order actually assists. The whole idea in all of this is to maintain order in a deliberative assembly. And that person that chairs those meetings uses this book to maintain that order. So when you have disruptors coming into a deliberative assembly, unless they are skilled in Robert's Rules of Order, a skillful chairman, one more skilled than they, should be able to quickly quash any kind of a internal revolt or revolution. The Bullhorn Boy and the others, we're going to have to stay outside on the sidewalk, or they'll be ejected, and the sergeant of arms is fully in his right position to eject you from the deliberative assembly. It helps to understand some of these things. It also helps to understand Robert's Rules of Order, because those who do not understand it will be ruled by it. Those who understand it and understand it well can rule with it. It's just a point of view. Continuing, again, to do this, it is necessary to restrain the individual somewhat, as the right of an individual in any community to do what he pleases is incompatible with the interests of the whole. There's a little trouble in that, but it's quite true. I'll just say it again. To do this, it is necessary to restrain the individual somewhat, as the right of an individual in any community to do what he pleases is incompatible with the interests of the whole. How does that stack up with our definition of freedom? 100% control of my property, 100% control, 100% of the time. It only lines up when you finish it out. And 0% control of my neighbor's property, 100% of the time. It also doesn't wash unless you understand this, that my rights end where the rights of another person begins. And if we've all come together and agreed and taken our time and traveled the distance, and we're here and we are peaceably assembled, the right to peaceably assemble, then it should only follow that I have certain rights in the assembly, and Robert's Rules of Order aims to ensure that each person will have ample time to make their comments in an orderly fashion and contribute to the course of action that's happening. Where there is no law, this goes back to Thomas Hobbes, every man at war against all men, where there is no law, but every man does what is right in his own eyes, there is the least of real liberty. So yes, we can do things individually, and one would hope that you could recognize that, because we can't do things severally, because we're all individuals. But at the same time, we need to put our hands on that big rope and tug when it's our turn to pull. We're all in this pickle together. We're either going to pull together or we'll hang together, one way or the other. Experience has shown the importance of definiteness in the law and in this country, talking about the United States of America here, not Soviet Union, where customs are so slightly established. Customs are so slightly established. It's the melting pot, in a way. We all came here from other countries, and we put off our Scottish kilt, and we put off our Oriental robes, and we put off all of our garments from other countries, and we put on the garb of Americanism, truly, in this country. So experience has shown the importance of definiteness in the law, and in this country where customs are so slightly established and the published manuals of parliamentary practice so conflicting, no society should attempt to conduct business without having adopted some work upon the subject as the authority in all cases not governed by its own special rules. While it is important that an assembly has good rules, it is more important that it not be without some rules governing its proceedings. Better some rules than none, and better Robert's Rules of Order than most. It is much more important, for instance, that an assembly has a rule. Well, we're fresh out of time. It's coming right up. I can hear it coming. But we'll find out more about Robert's Rules of Order in the weeks to come. I hope you've enjoyed today's broadcast, learned a little bit from it. Look forward to your emails and letters. And until Monday, have a good weekend and good day.
Taking it back, one precinct, one county, one state at a time. You've been listening to Become Vocal Local.
The Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the socialize link on the left-hand side of the OracleBroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member stream that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to OracleBroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
Claim that you owe a debt is made, you have a natural and legal right to demand that a third-party company validate and verify the debt claim. When a party brings suit, it is demanded by our legal system that the suing party has a substantial amount of evidence on their side of the scales of justice to bring a lawsuit to court. Failure to substantiate the claim of debt in court voids any claim to the debt and opens the doorway to civil and criminal proceedings. Endless Fraud Detection hires competent, independent examiners to audit your paperwork to find discrepancies, violations, unlawful and illegal acts, and misrepresentation of material facts, as well as acting as a third-party witness to the validation process. With our services, once you have the audit, which identifies any discrepancies of state and federal laws, you have enough weight on your side of the scales to seek remedy. To get your audit started, please visit our website at EndlessFraudDetection.com today.
Looking for great talk radio? You found it. This is the Oracle Broadcasting Network.